Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. This is Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the show. We're doing one a week, 2 weeks in a row. Is that correct, Noah?
Yes, one a week.
Because you and I are both on vacation. I'm in Australia right now. And where are you?
I'm getting married.
Oh, yeah, holy shit. I'm so glad we dedicated half an episode to my Australia trip and didn't even mention the what a good friend I am. Not knowing the timeline of my friends' lives, the most important moments.
I don't talk about it. It's me. I don't talk about myself. I don't know how to talk about myself.
I know, but... Okay, let me ask you about that. If you're someone who doesn't talk about themselves a lot, Brian's here as well. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Someone who doesn't talk about themselves a lot...
These off.
I project what I experience when people don't know things about my life that I feel like they should. Or I'm not really bad about it. I actually am very forgiving and I understand. Like if someone doesn't, I've maybe gotten hurt one or two times when someone doesn't remember something that I think they should. But as someone who doesn't expect people to, or doesn't talk about it very openly, do you get hurt when people don't remember significant things in your life? At like friends that are like, if, you know.
No.
You don't. You're
not at
all. So that works then. You don't reveal a lot. You don't expect a lot back.
Right. I try not to have any expectations of people because it always leads into disappointment. But
that's healthy.
I should be better at talking about myself. And I had to learn how to do that in therapy. I did not learn how to do that at home or growing up.
Yes. Back to therapy.
A little bit better at it. But like when it's like big occasions where I'm the center of attention, I don't know how to do it.
What's uncomfortable about it for you?
I think it's like all eyes on me makes me feel very uncomfortable.
So what is that fear? Like what's going to happen if all the eyes are on you? Or like, do you even know how to articulate it? It's just,
it's very hard.
Yeah.
We're
waiting for your reply.
Yes. What's your reply?
We're all wearing sunglasses. I'm wearing sunglasses. Noah's wearing, swim goggles and Brian is wearing, like science lab goggles or
Tim Allen
nerd on a basketball court goggles.
Yeah. Robert Ori.
Yeah, that guy. He's probably doing the right thing. I bet in 10 years, everyone's going to wear goggles and be like, it's like the ski helmet thing. If you go skiing, we'll get back to Noah's wedding eventually, but, there is if you go skiing, if you were someone who skied frequently in the past 15 years, I would say 15 to 20 years. There was a time where no one wore protective gear on their head.
Insane.
No one wore helmets at all. It's like children to like adults, pros, no one did it. And then like, we lost Sonny Bono, Natasha Richardson, Liam Neeson's wife also died from falling skiing. There was some like couples, there was some, a Kennedy, I think skied into a tree or something. There's been, so there was like awareness about it, but then there was a shift overnight. I mean, there was maybe a period of 10, 15 years that I didn't go skiing regularly, but it went from no one wears helmets to everyone. And we go like, how could, it's like smoking on planes. How could we have thought this was good? But smoking on planes, that took like decades to happen.
It was, well, it was overnight, was except for the fact that you didn't ski for 15 years.
But, yes, I know, but like that's still a short amount of time for something to shift so drastically. Yes. I do acknowledge that, yes, that's part of it, that I did miss a big window there. But doesn't that seem pretty fast for something to be that overhauled?
Back in the 70s, like hardly anybody wore seatbelts.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess by the 90s, seatbelts were like absolutely ubiquitous. And by the way, if you don't wear a seatbelt, you're such an idiot.
I keep forgetting.
You're the biggest idiot.
I keep forgetting this. And then every like 5 or 6 years, I look this piece of information up and I relearn it and I go, what? And that piece of information is that, you know, Sam Kinison died in a car crash. And
oh, yeah.
Every 5 years, I forget that. And every 5 years, it's I look wild. It up. And I'm like,
dude, that story behind that, do you know the whole story?
So he was driving, what I know is this, he was driving back from Vegas after getting married. It was, he got married for like the second or maybe third time.
I'm going to have you guys pull up this clip on YouTube of Sam Kinison, the story of him dying.
He was at the peak of his life, I think. He was probably so happy. And then a drunk driver swerved into his lane, hit him head on, and he...
And so I don't like two-lane highways. It's probably because of this fucking story I saw on VH1 one time about his death.
But he was not wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah, big mistake. Yeah. You're so stupid. Like, I always tell, and I don't, you're an idiot in the sense that, like, you're kind of an idiot if you don't do it. And I mean that with love, because Chris often doesn't wear a seatbelt because I think, I don't even know what it is. I just always try to remind him, if you die because you weren't wearing a seatbelt when you easily could have been, everyone kind of goes, oh, it was their fault. Like, you are looked at as kind of an idiot. Like, it's, you kind of go, well, they had it coming. Like, not really. It's still tragic. But I go, you don't want to die that way with a story that it's because you weren't wearing a seatbelt. Were you also wearing a backpack with one strap on? Like, were you also wearing sunglasses and had your backwards cap on? Like, it's just like, it's all these dumb things. It's like, it doesn't look cool. Were you also smoking a cigarette? It looks cool, but it's bad for you.
You walk
and it
around
doesn't even
your
look
backpack,
cool to not wear a seatbelt.
You walk around with your backpack unzipped. So if somebody robs you, you can't complain.
That's true. Actually, you're so right. I would think that I wouldn't complain. I'd go, I did it to myself. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that happens that often. But if you, and also, and I've said this point before, but it absolutely bears repeating. When someone's not wearing a seatbelt in the car with you, they're a threat to you, because if the car flips, their body flails all around and knocks you in the face, and you get head trauma from their body that's going 60 miles an hour or whatever it is in your direction. Oh. That's what happens. So I always say to Chris, I don't care about, I'm not even asking you for this for you. It's for me. I don't want to die. So will you put this on for me? So, because sometimes people go, I don't care if I died. It's like, well, then will you care about me? And it's nice to other people. It's like not looking at your phone during a movie.
It's also for the person that hits you.
I've learned from that. What was it?
It's also, you wear a seatbelt for the person that hits you, because if they hit you and then you die because you're not wearing a seatbelt, then that person just killed somebody.
I didn't even think about that.
If you were wearing a seatbelt, you might not have died.
You just caused so much trauma for that person. Yeah. And also, do you really want to die going through a windshield?
Or
like,
worse.
Does that sound good to you?
Windshields are pretty strong now. You'd probably just hit the windshield and make that like crack.
Oh, dear. Let's change the subject.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's not like the
Sam
70s.
Kinison. Yeah. No, wait. Can I say something cool about the Sam Kinison thing? And this is the thing that I like am really... So he's someone that like saw God when he was dying. So like, I think it was... Who was opening for him was right behind him. Was it Henry Rollins?
It was Matt Rife.
He was around back then. That's how good his work is.
Yeah.
He is 67. It was some comedian, I think it was Henry Rollins. I'm remembering this VH1 thing that was called Behind the Funny or something. And there was a clip about this guy. It wasn't even a clip. I saw the show when it was on VH1. I think it was Henry Rollins for some reason. But someone that looked like him, following behind Sam Kinison as he crashed. So he came upon the crash immediately. And held him as he died. And when Sam Kinison was dying, what was his last words? Noah or Brian, will you look up his last words? Because he said it beyond.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? He said, I don't want to die. And then
I don't want to die.
Said,
and then he goes, okay. Oh, yes, that was the story. He goes, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And then he just looked relaxed and he goes, oh, okay. and just like drifted off. The story.
Oh, this is sad. It was a 17-year-old who was driving the other car.
Oh,
yes. That 17-year-old, but drunk driver. And I say this, if you drive drunk, you should have your head cut off. If you drive drunk one time, you should have your head cut off.
No. Really? It was his brother who was following him.
No, the drunk driving thing, I got to say, horrible, horrible, horrible. But the person who's deciding to drive drunk is drunk. You know, like I have compassion because they are hopefully an alcoholic, but the choice to drink knowing that you could end up driving is so reckless when you're of your right state of mind. And I don't believe in free will, but when you're of your right state of mind and you decide to drink when you know you could drive, you're a total piece of shit. But I found his
last words.
Yes.
So it wasn't okay. It was before that.
Okay.
That's Steve basically. Steve Jobs, literally. It was, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Oh, he was seeing the iPhone 17 in his head. He was picturing the 18. He was like, oh, God, they're going to be so great. And then he died, left us with nothing. Okay.
Okay, so his brother, with the help of friend Carl LeBove. So basically.
Carl LeBove, yes.
Kinnison began to look off into the distance and began talking to a force unseen. He said,
yes.
Ready? I don't want to die. I don't want to die, he told the force. LeBove explained it was as if he was having a conversation, talking to someone unseen, somebody else, but some unseen person.
Yeah.
Wow. And then he asked, but why? Then paused again and then responded, okay.
Yeah, okay. That was the story. It was like you saw him grappling with the idea of death. And then when it suddenly was imminent, he was like so okay with it. And I remember watching that and feeling like really happy that that was the outcome. Like I was like, okay, that made me not scared of death because he seemed, they described him as so at peace. And maybe that's the story they're telling themselves and they don't remember it correctly. And this, you know, whatever.
He was actually going, no.
Yeah.
No, don't take me. That's what he did. He was a screamer. He would go on stage and he'd scream, and then his last words were a whisper. That's not his persona.
Oh, that
sounds
is
fake to me. No, but you know what it is? It's just DMT being released in your brain. That's the last chemical that gets released into your brain before you die, and you start to see all these things, and you generally this wave of calm washes over you. That's the one thing sucks about being
that's
a suicide
so nice.
Bomber.
Oh, they don't get that.
They don't. If you blow up or something like that, you don't get that final DMT hit that makes you feel calm and comfortable and potentially see something.
Where your body like knows it's going, so it sends off this chemical, but you don't have that because it's so fast. Shit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a reason to not
kill yourself.
Shouldn't
be a suicide bomber.
Yeah, that's such a reason to not blow your brains out. You have to have that moment. Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. Because, I want to trip DMT someday, but I want it to be when I'm dying.
Yeah.
Like, I want to experience it, but I would be so scared before then.
Because
like, what's the one that Neil Brennan
you.
Did that he said? I think DMT was what Neil Brennan did.
Yes.
And he said it was horrific. He can't describe what happened. He truly, I've tried. He's such an articulate person. He cannot describe what happened, but he does not get depressed anymore. I haven't checked on him since then. Is he okay, actually? No, I haven't checked out, but he said that it switched his brain off. It worked. It cured his depression, his lifelong depression that he was seeking for treatment for so long. He did it. But he said the experience he had, he would never do again for $1 billion. I believed him. He was like, it was the worst thing ever. He couldn't really describe why it was the worst thing, but he suffered he would have kind of flashbacks to it for a couple months, but that it cured his depression, his horrible suicidal manic depression.
Yeah.
But he also wouldn't wish it on his worst enemy. So I'm like, oh, okay, great. I'm glad there's a solution out there. That's the worst thing possible.
That's
but then
the
on
one
the other
drug.
Side of it, you're fine. No, I don't know. I don't like roller coasters.
People do shrooms and they have revelations. People do ayahuasca. But the one drug where I've seen people take and then legitimately permanently change is DMT.
LC?
No, it's DMT.
Really?
People do DMT and they become a different person. It's almost like, I mean, it doesn't happen to everybody, obviously, but for some people that I have known, they do DMT and then they become just totally disconnected from outcomes.
Yeah.
And it changes their personality, which is maybe healthy or whatever, but it also makes
from outcomes.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if I want to be, I would love to be disconnected from self and other judgment, but from outcomes, I guess that would actually be pretty freeing in a lot of ways.
Well, it's part of being disconnected from yourself because you're now viewing yourself as part of the whole of the universe. So your own personal success is not really a factor. It's like your success.
Oh my God. It would absolutely change me then. If that was the realization that I was able to come to, I wouldn't be able to do anything I do. My life, it would be impossible if I didn't feel like I was a special individual that needed special I don't know. Do you think that you need love still? You just seek it in invalidating ways or whatever?
I think you just feel the love of the universe. I don't know. I've never done it, but from what the people have described to me, I knew two people who changed dramatically and then a few other people who took it and just like had revelations. But the two people that changed dramatically, they just felt like they were constantly feeling the love of the universe and perhaps they were in a state of bliss. But I have to say, from an outsider's perspective, it makes you almost insufferable.
I don't want to become that.
Just this floaty, like, you know, like
you're
what
just
do you want
too
for,
happy.
What do you want for dinner tonight? You know, it doesn't matter what we eat for dinner. Who cares? Let's just eat, enjoy the fruits of
it's almost
Amon
the way
Ra,
a depressed
whatever
person.
The fuck they say.
Yeah, like, I don't care. But it's just like, I don't care. Like, it's a different side of, like, when you're depressed, you're like, I don't care. Everything's just, it's
one of these guys went really nuts, though. He really...
So much gratitude. Too much gratitude.
Too much gratitude. Too
grateful.
Okay,
we all know
everything.
This person on Instagram and TikTok. The person that's just always, like, just able to conjure this, like, you need to love yourself. And as a woman who's aging, it's your duty. And I'm like, you have perfect hair and you have perfect skin. You're 60. You look 34. This is all very easy for you to say, ma'am. But it's like, maybe that's what's behind. She like is leaning into her. She's actually so beautiful. And I do get a lot from her videos. But on days where I'm not feeling very good about myself, this woman irritates me because I'm like, if I looked like you, I wouldn't really give a shit about my looks either. But that's not fair. She's still allowed to have opinion about that stuff and try to promote, you know, like Jamila Jamil. I always almost fuck up her name.
For me,
and that's so embarrassing. I just don't say her name fully. I just call her Jamila. And then when I have to throw in the next name that sounds very similar, I'm not saying anything. I just mix it up. I get nervous. It's the same as when I say take for granted and grant. I want to say granite and I get so nervous that I want to say granted, but I get so nervous when I'm about to say it that I fuck it up. I struggle with people's names so much and I'm always really embarrassed when I have to bring someone up on stage that has a weird name that I think I might mispronounce and therefore insult their ethnicity. I get so nervous and then I end up doing it every time. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah. People say my name wrong all the time and I don't get upset about it.
But I don't care at all. My dad is very like, they said Glasser. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a show at the Funny Bone. It's fine.
One time in an email to Kelly, who edits our videos, I said, I'm missing brains because I didn't have Brian's video or something.
Yes, and he's brain like, must happen all the time to you.
Oh God,
he's like, I'm missing your brain.
Sometimes I'll get like spam emails that say dear brain and it's like couldn't even fucking get it right in your spam email.
Yeah, that would just be bots copy and pasting and maybe it means you didn't get it right somewhere.
I that actually does bother me. Brain bothers me for some reason, whereas if someone says Frange or Frangy or something like that, I'm not
brain
upset.
Should bother you,
but brain
it's funny though.
That bothers me because that's why it bothers me, because people find it so funny to say brain Frangy. And it's like, why?
Because
is it because
you
I'm wearing
are.
These goggles? Is that why?
It does. It kind of suits you. You are a brainiac, I would say.
Yeah.
You take that as a compliment, right? Who doesn't want to be a brainiac?
I would love to be a brainiac.
A brainiac means I've never had sex, though, I feel like.
Yeah, kind of does. That's what it does imply, but it doesn't have to. Not the one that you are a brainiac that fucks a lot, for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
They are out there.
That's my persona, too.
Isn't getting brain a sexual act? I got brain. Yeah. She gives good brain.
Oh.
All right.
Well, is that when your dick's goes all the way up there? Isn't getting brain like a term if that gangs use when they're talking about killing somebody? When you shoot someone in the head, you brain them?
Oh, shit. That's good. I like that. Yeah. No, I think give good brain means... Give good head. We got to look it up.
Give like good brain. Too. I've never heard that.
I think
before.
it's in Whatever You Like, the T.I. song that Anya does. Hold on. Oh.
Give good brain meaning.
Give good brain.
Is a slang term usually referred to giving oral sex.
Yes,
usually
thank God.
To a person with a penis.
I'm hip with the kids in 2001 when wow. that song was written. I doubt they say
2021 it now. Was this article on popbuzz.com.
Recently.
The internet's most trusted viral news source.
What's the most recent like word you've heard that you're like, what? Is that?
Oh, there's a bad one that's coming out that I don't think is going to catch on that Allie told me the other day. And it is, fuck, I just forgot it.
Damn it. I hate when that happens.
God damn it.
You know what?
Yeah.
Say less. That's
say
my
less.
Favorite one. Say
oh,
less.
Yeah. I like say less.
It sounds almost insulting, but it's supposed to mean like, no, I got it. Right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I think say Riz is came and went.
Yeah.
There was like a
no,
three-week...
I think it's stuck around.
No, because too many adults are saying it. There was a 3-week period where Riz was it, and now you see on like Fox News where someone's like, or as the kids are saying, Ron DeSantis has no Riz. And it's like, okay, it's over. That's when it's being said on Fox News, it's over.
I don't know. I think it's gonna stick around. I predict let's revisit in six
let's
months.
Let's Riz visit.
Someone remind us in 6 months to revisit and see if Riz is on the Riz or on the downfall. So, okay, say less. I was right. Yeah. It is a slang way. It's a concise way of expressing agreement or acknowledgement that you understand what someone is saying without adding further comment. I like it because it sounds insulting. Because like say less, like, ugh, say less. Just talk less. You're annoying. But it's just like, I got you. I love it. Okay. We got to go to break. We'll come back and I'll say more.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
We're back. We're wearing sunglasses this episode, or at least I was wearing sunglasses. And then Noah, you gave up on the goggles?
You know
goggles?
Why? Because my goggles,
sorry,
I felt like they were sucking my eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
That has happened. My brother goes scuba diving, and one time I saw him and his eyes were all like bloodshot, and I was like, what the fuck happened to your eyes? And he's like, I accidentally moved my goggles, and the pressure sucked his eyeballs.
And they strained his eyebrow. Eyeballs.
That's because he's underwater, though. That's not because of the goggles alone.
But that's what was happening to me. I feel my eyes.
I just want to address on YouTube that I'm flipping up my glasses because these glasses are polarized and they make it so I can't see the screen. So when I do this, you guys are literally, I can't see anything. Totally black on the screen. It like takes it away. So that's why I keep going back and forth. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Well, it's talking good to be able to do something.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's good to have a little task.
It's like having a cigarette.
But I keep dropping coffee on myself. We just recorded. We're doing two back-to-back episodes, and I went to Starbucks to kind of break up the.
Oh, you did?
To feel like I did. Yeah, I ran over there. And I'm trying to think of anything in the Monumental app, but no, it was my friend Lauren was there.
I have the other word just to keep it on the same topic
please.
A second. Yeah. Copium. Have you heard that yet? Copium.
Copium.
Are kids using that word?
It's used on Twitch a lot. It's
copium.
Copium. It's a combination of cope and opium. So it's used satirically and is a joke term used to describe a fictional drug that one consumes after suffering a loss, defeat, or disappointment.
Oh, so you need some copium, man.
Yeah.
Because you just lost.
It's often said when people try to make excuses for a failure or who try to spin something that's decidedly negative into a positive.
What?
So here's I was just trying a new dance move. Dude, copium. I don't get what that means, but
no.
I don't think copium's going to catch on so much with the regular people outside of Twitch because it's just, I don't think it sounds very cool.
It sounds like a drug or a genus.
Yeah.
Of a type of flower.
But it is being said, copium.
Because I guess it is a opium. It's a part. Oh, is it opium's a flower, right? I think
poppy,
I smoked opium one time.
Seed.
The weirdest drugs outside of pot that I've done, I think I did opium in high school, but I don't remember. I just remember it looked like a little black rock. Yeah, it didn't affect. I don't remember it affecting me in any certain way. And then I did salvia, which is so stupid.
Yeah,
I'm so mad at myself.
I haven't heard of that one.
Why is it so stupid?
Dude, because if you watch videos of people on it, people get so weird and almost pass out and just their bodies contort and they look like they're having an epileptic seizure. They look horrified.
Oh, wow.
And it lasts a very short amount of time, but then you come out of it. Luckily, I did not have that reaction, but I could have. Like, it's very well documented all over YouTube. Watch people on salvia. It's disturbing to watch. And they are freaked out. And I read on Reddit all the time, what's the one drug you don't recommend? And people are like, salvia. It fucked with, talking about DMT and stuff. It fucked with me so hard. So I was lucky that I didn't experience that with it.
Yeah.
But I did smoke synthetic weed in Indiana. Mm. Oh, Dayton. I was in Dayton. I remember it was the day of the royal wedding. I forget what year that was. I remember it was on TV, but I was staying at this comedy condo in Dayton. And there was this guy that I was working with who had kids and was on parole from a drunk driving thing. And so he couldn't smoke weed because they drug tested him. So he was like, I got the synthetic weed and it looked like Easter basket, stuffing, that grass, plastic grass.
Sure.
And you smoked that. And my heart, I thought I was going to die. I literally was considering writing a note and I started the joke I wrote after it, and this is not even a lie, I started cleaning up because I literally thought EMTs were going to have to be called because my heart was being so fast and I felt so crazy. So that was the one time I was holy shit. And I was what are you doing? Why are you smoking something that looks like plastic? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But I was just young and dumb, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to hurt myself, but I wasn't thinking.
Now everything has plastic in it.
That's true. I was smoking microplastics before we were drinking them.
Where it was cool.
Yeah.
So,
And then I smoked weed out of a Red Bull can. And then I realized that I was just, smoking. You just smoke aluminum? What the fuck?
Insane.
Or a Bic pen? Plastic?
Oh, yeah.
What? You're not even supposed to microwave a plastic thing for 10 seconds and eat something out of it. Yet you are inhaling the plastic fumes, which I did many times in creek beds in Kirkwood, Missouri through high school. It's insane.
So if you look into Nikki's glasses, if you hold them into a specific way, because the reflection of the screens that we're on are in her glasses, it looks like she has big, giant cartoon eyes.
Oh, really?
Hold your head up and to the right a little bit.
I see it.
She's got big, giant cartoon eyes.
Oh, my God. It does look I can kind of see it through it. It looks almost like I'm on ants, the CGI.
Yeah. Wow. So go to YouTube if you want to see those.
Wacky
cartoon eyes.
I hope it looks good and on the thing. I'll keep looking up this way because I actually can see better because they polarize slightly less.
You can
Is
look
this through. One good?
That one's great. It looks like okay, perfect good. I'll cartoon hold this. Eyes. Oh my okay, good. God.
Yay.
It looks Wait, like I'll we added a filter to Nick. Like if
you I can
you,
see it.
You kind
and this
of
is good because
even...
I can seriously see it. My neck will start hurting, but for yeah. now it's good.
You can turn your head the exact other way and you'll also get cartoon eyes because you have the other screen.
Hold on. I'm trying to keep the little it. Dots in the screenshot. In the middle.
Yeah, there's now there's two. There, yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Oh my God. It really does. All
you
right,
really got to tune into our YouTube yeah, if you want to experience this. And I can't be too aware of it. It's hard. So Taylor Swift is coming out with a new album. And yeah. And I haven't talked about it yet. And I know it's been so many weeks, but it just happened for me because we're pre-taping these episodes. It happened how many nights ago? Grammys were Sunday and it is now Wednesday. So just want to walk you through my experience. I was on the red carpet for the Janie's Fund. Janie's got a fund event. And there was a woman who interviewed me and I was talking about the foster system and how foster care system and how women get out of it and they need help, whatever, answering those questions. And then this one girl was like, can we talk about Taylor Swift or something like that? And I was like, yes. And I go, I think tonight I'm trying to find the video. I'm desperate to find this red carpet interview. It, or even just find the girl who it was so I can go, hey, can you give me that footage? I said, Taylor Swift is, everyone thinks she's going to do a re-announce of her re-recording of Reputation because that's what's next. We just know it. She's giving all the clues. But I said, I actually think she's announcing a brand new album. Wow. I know that's a lot to say, but I don't think it's going to be Reputation. I think it's a brand new album because there's just been, I just had a sense because the hints were not giving over the top Reputation. There wasn't like a ton of snake. There's been snakes in her outfits and like she's dropping Easter eggs here and there. All of her friends turned their profile pictures to black and white about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And this is, again, I'm talking to like 2 weeks in the past right now. So this was 5 weeks to you. But like, right, I would say 2 weeks before the Grammys, maybe 3 weeks, everyone in her circle, including Travis, turned their profile pictures to black and white. But and everyone's like, oh, that could be Reputation because Reputation's imaging is like black and dark and snakes and like black sparkles and like it's that vibe. So everyone's like, oh, this is her teasing Reputation. It's coming up. But no, once you see what this album is about, this new album called The Tortured Poets Department. Did I get that right? Can you like have it up in front of me? Okay, for now. I just now memorized it. I don't know about other Swifties, but Tortured Poets Department was not sticky in my brain, in my Brian, that night. I like kept thinking it was the Tortured Poets Committee, the
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society, yeah, like that comes into it. And so it was just really hard for me to get, but I think TPD, I think is what we're going to call it as Swifties, because it's just a mouthful.
Toilet paper dick.
But yeah, toilet paper dick. That's what I'll call it. And that's could be her next album.
Mm-hmm.
She could like Ice Spice just came out with a song about fart and it's number one or it's like on the Billboard charts. It's the first song with fart in it.
I've always said that you got it. Farts are number one. You do fart song.
You've
number one.
Never said that.
Always say it.
I said predicted it on every, that.
I said on every episode
find that
of the podcast
interview. Oh, really?
I've been on almost 100 episodes. I've said it on every one. You just got to find it.
But I predicted it. And anyway, so, cause it just felt like it didn't feel over the top Reputation to me. And it turns out if you look at the now styles of these different albums of what she's given us of this new one, it is not Reputation at all, but it's kind of could be. So we all got clowned hard on this one, which is what we call it in the Swiftie community. When we think she's going to do something, then she doesn't, or we think one thing and she does other thing. The emoji is a clown. You just go like me on April 19th and it'll be like a clown. Like we know she's going to clown us. Like we think she's going to do this. She's going to go that way. And she totally clowned us, but not me. I knew. But I was coming out of the bathroom. She won. I'm running down the bathroom in these like 7-inch heels for like from I'm at the Palladium. The bathroom's like in the lobby. So imagine the Palladium's like going to a place to see a play, you know? And so it's like the bathrooms are out in the foyer area, like removed from where it's being shown on the screen. And I just hear her when I don't see it because I'm in the bathroom and I'm running out and I have to run down these marble stairs, like this whole staircase. Wow. Like I'm like Cinderella at midnight. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, before. And I'm running down and I hear her win. But thankfully, while I was running, she was getting to her seat. So I missed all of her, like, you know, high-fiving everyone and hugging someone. But by the time I got in the room, she was then perfectly on stage ready to talk. So I didn't miss that. And I was so excited. So then I ran and I gave Chris my camera because I was like, I want to get a picture of me with her. Like, you know, winning. And I was so excited
because it was her first thing that she won was best song, I think, for Antihero. I'm sorry, I don't remember it right now. I should do that because she's my best friend. But she looked so beautiful. I was so excited. And then she says, you know, and I want to tell you something that I've kept secret for 2 years. And we're still thinking, like, could it be Reputation? Because, yeah, she could have been keeping that secret 2 years. But I just knew. And she's like, I have a new album coming out. And I am so fucking excited. And I know it's annoying. I know Swifties are annoying. I just have to tell you, as a Swiftie, I can be really obnoxious sometimes, and I know it's like overblown and over the top, and it's like roll your eyes. It feels so good when you hear that your favorite thing is about to have more of your favorite thing. Like, just imagine that your team wins and you get to watch them play more in the playoffs or whatever. Like, it's just more new things of the thing you love the most. So it is a amazing feeling that this bitch is so goddamn prolific.
Was there anyone else at your table that was a Swiftie?
No.
So you had to deal this with this on your own.
I was looking around. I vibed my table to see if anyone else was a little bit over the, like, even like, you know, just really had a lot of respect for her, or like, not obviously everyone respects her, but I just thought someone would be, you know, even a moderate I was looking for moderate to severe Swiftie was the range that I would have liked. There was no one, but there was Chris, who knows how much she means to me. So he was excited that my friend won. And I know that feels stupid, but I don't think she's my friend. I'm not saying that in that way. I'm just saying, like, I have had friends win these awards. I've had friends, like a best friend, win an Emmy. And it's the same feeling. So you can say, like, she's not your friend. Like, when Swifties are excited about Taylor winning these things, someone can always be like, she doesn't feel like, this is not the way you react if she's not your friend or whatever. But I'm here to tell you, I have had friends win Emmys. It is the same feeling. You are feeling a real thing that is, like, it means something and makes you feel good. So lean into it, bitch. But I had to pull back a little bit because I just was trying to be cool around my new famous friends. And it just wasn't the vibe to be like, hey, yes! Like, it was, people were, like, talking about their kids, showing pictures of their kids, talking about other stuff. Like, it was just, people weren't even watching. And for me to be like, she won. Can you believe it? So I was furiously texting Noor Hadidi, who is my my one friend who is the biggest Swiftie that as big as I am. And like right on the same level. She's severe, chronic Swiftie. And so we were texting back and forth about, like, oh my God, she did it. And I was like, Noor, I predicted it. And she was like, you did. You said Reputation. I go, oh, fuck, I didn't tell you my new prediction. Ah. And so, because I wanted it in writing. I was searching our chat to be like, I know I predicted this. But yeah, I was so excited. And so then.
That's how I felt about 9/11.
What?
That I predicted it, but nobody had it in writing.
You do wonder, like, if you went back in time and could stop 9/11, like, how you would convince people. You would just go like, hey, will you just, like, screen people extra hard at this airport today? Like, and you could have, or these airports.
No one would ever believe you.
No, especially not
back
then.
You could just be like, I have, you know, information that.
And then you'd get arrested and you'd get.
Yeah. They'd be like, how do you know this? And you're like, I'm from the future. It's a long story. Like, it's going to be as crazy as American Nightmare when they were like, these guys come in with wetsuits on and put headphones over our ears and goggles. Speaking of goggles that you were wearing, if you saw American Nightmare, the story, the way in which this guy kidnapped these people was so crazy that he definitely sounded like he had murdered her, because he said this guy was wearing wetsuit and put, you know, music on in their headphones and then made a little square for them to sit in. Like, it was, everyone was just like, oh yeah. And then did the guys climb out of the sea and try to kidnap your girlfriend? It's like, we know you killed her. This is ridiculous. It was as if he said, I'm from the future. So yeah, you'd be fucked with the I'm from the future.
That would be a funny movie. If, like, a guy's from the future. He keeps trying to prevent tragedies from happening and no one believes him. And then they keep happening. He's like, I told you, I'm from the future.
Yeah, that's interesting. And they're like, no, we think you're the cause of it. Like, what? Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay.
Tragic
someone
comedy.
Make that. someone steal Brian's idea.
Okay, wait. I have conspiracy theory questions about this
album.
Yeah,
please.
Before we go through the track listing, if you have anything to say. So, Joe Alwyn, is this album about him?
Boy.
He says
not a great week to be Joe Alwyn.
Yeah, he's
not a good
he
week.
Has a boy Joe chat.
Yes,
that's
okay.
Called
so he did.
The
yes, this is
Man Club,
and we all knew about this. This was in an interview a while ago with Paul Mescal, that he did where he said that they have a group chat called the Tortured Man's Club. Is that what it's called?
It's called the Tortured Man Club.
Okay, so yes, they had done an interview where I think it was for Vanity Fair where they admitted that they had this chat, and this was months ago. It might have been even when Taylor was still with Joe, maybe a year or so ago. And yeah, that's definitely possible that she could be hinting at that and making fun of that a little bit. But because I do think there's going to be something. I think she's going to take herself not so seriously as we all think she's going to take herself with this new like whole poetry thing. Like I think she's going to have like a wink. She's going to be winking at us throughout it. So I don't think she named it the Tortured Poets Department because she's like, I'm a tortured poet and I'm the commissioner of the, or like, you know, the chairman. Cause she does have that listed chairman, Taylor Swift or whatever it is, which I think it's all like funny. I think it's funny. Otherwise, I'll have to, you know, reassess. Once I hear the music, the music's going to be amazing no matter what. That's what we know. Mm-hmm. I don't care what she's doing with the branding of it. Like, I actually, it's not that I don't care. I just, whatever she means by it, I love it all. I think it's gorgeous. Her photo on the fucking cover of this new album is so good. It's so sexy, but it's like not over the top at all. But it's like she's wearing a sheer top. Her mouth, her lips are partially opened in a perfect way. She looks stunning. It's hot. It's sexy, but it's also indie and cool. It's just, she nailed it with this album cover. I think I love it so much. And then the track listing got released last time with Midnights. She would give us a new track like every twice a week. I think it was all of a sudden she'd post on TikTok this Midnights thing where she would get a call. She'd be in this room and she'd get a call and she'd be like, the next track is Vigilante Shit. And then, but it was, oh, she would pick a ball out of this thing. She would roll this like lottery ball and then she'd be like, oh, I'm going to reveal track three. So you would just get a random one every night. And we were freaking out because we're like, she has a song called Vigilante Shit. She's putting shit in the fuck. She just started cussing two albums ago. Now she's saying shit. She like doesn't give a fuck. That was so exciting. And then, you know, so the track names are so important to being a Swiftie because you get to like have this whole experience of like imagining what it could be and being like, oh, fuck. And so we got all of them in one night. We had to wait for so long, which I'm a little bit sad about because it's fun to just get something new every so often. But I think the tracks got leaked on TikTok, which people are saying, how could that happen? She keeps her circle so tight. Like, if you want to listen to a Taylor Swift song, if she is like, hey, this other artist, will you listen to the song? Someone flies to that city and brings them the track to listen to and then takes it away on a physical device. It does not get sent digitally ever, ever, anywhere. So she doesn't fuck around. But people are saying that because records take so long to print, it's someone involved with the record, like some printing of the record.
He did it. He leaked it.
Post Malone. I'm so excited he's on the first track called Fortnite, which people are saying that Fortnite might be about how Joe plays so much Fortnite.
Oh, brother. Oh,
dude, can you imagine? Slam. It's such a good word too, and it fits with the aesthetic and like being a poet, like saying Fortnite, but then it being a song about him playing too much Fortnite is fucking brilliant. And so just like, dude, I really do feel bad for Joe Alwyn, but like he'll be okay. He'll be okay. I'm like, what is he? Poor Joe Alwyn, because what do you do in defense? Like, you've signed all the NDAs. You really can't give an interview in which you talk about her. And if you want to talk about her in your art as she's talking about you, what are you going to act really mad one time? Like, what are you going to, you have to write a character.
You could write a movie,
But he should write a movie
where he's from the future and he's coming back to tell everyone about 9/11.
He has, you know, like, I want him to have the freedom to respond because I think it's fair. Like, Chris always wanted to start a podcast for men who get talked about on podcasts. Like, their girlfriends do podcasts. And so they just go in and listen to the podcast and then comment on their side of things. And I'm like, do it. I think that's a great idea. I'll own up to this stuff. But I think that it isn't fair if someone is not able to reply. But it's like, what if your girlfriend is a comedian and gets to talk all about your relationship and your job is like, you tap dance in musicals? Like, how are you gonna, you don't write plays, like, or you are an electrician, like, you, I guess you, but if you sign an NDA, you can't write about someone outright.
It's okay.
I guess you could fiction.
As Jacqueline Novak said in her last special, they got the blowjobs, and isn't that enough? Yeah.
Blowjobs are pretty great.
So, like, these guys dated Taylor Swift for a while, and that's the price
you pay. Oh, is that what she's saying? Jacqueline says it too, is like,
she's talking about all these guys that she gave blowjobs to, and that, and she's like, but is it offensive to them to be talking about them like this so intimately? And she's like, I'm not going to name them by name, but also they got the blowjobs, and isn't that enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is, oh God, I love that.
Yeah.
I think Jacqueline and I have blown the same people. So I think, wow. Or same person, one of the same people. Because I remember us both being this, I was very jealous of her at first because she was just a beautiful girl my age, blonde hair, similar features. I'm like, and so funny. So I remember being like, who is she? And she had this amazing, like, I think it was on MySpace. She had this photo that she just looked like a fucking angel. And I'll tell you more about it after the break.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
We're back. Jacqueline Novak, whose new special, what is
Get it called? On Your Knees.
Get on Your Knees. Such a good name too, but I couldn't remember. But she's amazing, and I used to look at her from afar and be like, God, she is like everything I want to be. She reminded me of this girl in high school who I really admired. Jen Shoemaker? No, Lisa Schumacher. Lisa Schumacher was also a girl that I just was like, she looks like me. If I could figure out how to just tweak myself a little bit, like I can see myself looking exactly like this girl. If I just figure it out, you know? Lisa Schumacher's flares always hit on the ground perfectly, like not too baggy where it would be like you would get like a fold at the bottom.
No.
There's a name for that. My stylist just taught me, but I don't know what it is, where it kind of like crunkles at the bottom because it's too long.
It's called crunkle.
So there's two crunkles on the bottom usually for me with either because they're too long, but hers would hit. It would crunkle just that little seam, you know, the little end part of the, so it wouldn't even be that, be like half that, but it would never, if she crossed her legs, it would still be at that level. Like,
damn.
I don't even have to do it. They were just, I used to just stare at her, the fit of her jeans and how they would gracefully lay perfectly across her Birkenstock. And then they would crumple in the front because you have to have like a little crumble, but in the back there wouldn't be too much crumbling. They were never dirty. And she had this like
maybe
hair that
tailored.
She could just like put back, like her hair, you could tell dried straight. Like, fuck you. If you're a girl whose hair dries straight, I'll just speak for frizzy haired bitches. We resent you. And I know that you resent us because you want to have curl in your hair. So it's like the grass is greener. But man, I really admire girls that can just, their hair dries straight. Mine does now because I have enough weight on it. But when you are have short hair as a girl with hair like me, it doesn't, it drives crazy.
Frizzle.
Yeah, Miss Frizzle. It's frizzling out. And but yeah, wait, who was I originally talking about that reminded me of this girl?
Jacqueline Novak.
Yeah, so Jacqueline, I remember finding out about her because the guy I had blown and was like, I liked, final thought. And like I always wanted this guy to like come back around. I saw him like hanging out with her and I was like, oh God, like she is the better version of me. Like he did it. And I was really jealous. But then I got to know her and she's so amazing. And
have we talked about her special yet?
Nice.
On this pod? And so,
I haven't watched it.
Oh, well.
So I can't yet. And I'm so embarrassed I haven't because I owe it to her and I promoted it. Yeah, I will.
Watch it on the plane.
I think it's hard for me right now to watch other women's specials because of that competitive nature in myself of being, I'm avoiding things that I know are going to be great because I have a special coming out and I've just reviewed mine and I can't take mine back. Like it's in the chamber ready to shoot. And once it's shot, I can watch other specials.
Yeah.
But right now when I'm like, I could change it, which I can't, like there's something in me that's making me not watch good comedy specials, especially from beautiful blonde women, which there seems to be only like,
she doesn't seem that blonde to me. I always view her as a brunette.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I can watch it.
You're like dark blonde.
Yes.
Just kidding. Wait, speak to it. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was an incredible piece of art, hilarious. And I feel like she, you know, she's been working on this special for 5 years. So I would expect it to be like extremely particular in its wording and things like that.
Yes.
But this is like above and beyond. I feel like she's somewhat invented a new form of comedy that marries poetry and stand-up in a way that it's a genre-bending piece of work that
totally
is going to inspire a new generation, I think.
The clips I've seen, it is totally tortured poets department.
Yeah.
It's funny poetry.
Yeah.
It's like leaning into that style, but also mocking it sort of. Having fun within it while also like honoring it. It's totally TPD.
There's going to be a generation of Bard graduates who are going to try stand-up comedy and do it like Jacqueline Novak. And yes, they're not going to be as good. It's going to be like when they were the Baby Birds.
No, she's brilliant. Dude, she wrote a book about depression. I should read that book since I've been feeling depressed recently. I never read that book either. It's like, I just have to say I have a lot of talented friends that do a lot of things and I don't always get to all of them and I feel bad admitting that. But I'm going to read that book because that's actually what I need right now. Yeah. But can we just...
Or watch The Great Depression. Maybe
that'll
help.
Yeah, Gary's. Yeah. I loved that. I loved that a lot. Gary Goldman special. Yeah, The Great Depression. I should watch that again. You're right. And Neil Brennan. He has a lot of comedy about depression, but Tortured Poets Department track listings. I just want to say, we're about to get a really good album. Like, it's going to be so much fun. Some of these titles are just like, someone kind of talked about how this album is probably the stages of grief and a breakup because she only gave us the song You're Losing Me as the song about her breakup with Joe. And she probably wrote it about him before they broke up this last time. It's probably written between two breakups or before the first breakup. So that song's amazing, You're Losing Me. It's like perfect for anyone who's going through a breakup and the struggles of like, it's written from the perspective of someone who's like telling someone the first time, like,
I have a question.
Hey, we have to end this. Yeah.
About Taylor's history. Has Please. She ever released an album while in a relationship with a new guy? Or is this, this kind of new?
No, Lover was all about falling in love with Joe. But she teased her love with,
No, like now she's with Travis.
Yeah.
And let's say some of the songs in this album are about her relationship with Joe Alwyn. Has she been in this kind of situation or was she always broken up when the album came out?
She's been in this situation. She's been on the next one. So Joe definitely dealt with, she was more coming out of the Kanye Kim stuff that he dealt with that. But I think, Travis is going to have to be okay with her writing about other guys and being sad or whatever. Like a part of me was like, can he handle this? Yeah, because she's fucking, I mean, because it's going to be undeniably musically fucking perfect. But, it's
she's over that guy. So she's writing about being over him because the first part, there's like four quadrants people are kind of separating them into. I think she actually separated them, side A, side B, whatever, C, D. And then, but it's like the stages of going through a relationship. So the first part is about breaking up with Joe. The second part is about, talking about breaking up, and then her rebound with Matt Healy. What is the third? What are the tracks in the third quadrant called?
So Long London.
Oh, yeah, that's him. Her leaving Joe. Joe is London. He's from London. He's the guy from the song London Boy. So that is okay. Straight up going to be like, bye, Joe. Yeah, can't wait.
But Daddy,
I love him is a shirt that was Harry Styles wore. He is pictured with it maybe more than once. It says, "But Daddy, I love him." It's also from The Little Mermaid. She says, "Daddy, I love him." She doesn't say, "But Daddy." She says, "Daddy, I love him," which is released in 1989, which is Taylor's birth year. So people think it could be. And that is a story of a woman who lost her voice because she was so in love.
Mm.
People are speculating that The Little Mermaid could be related to that.
But what's Daddy.
Fresh Out the Slammer.
Fresh Out the Slammer is she's out of the prison she was in. Mm-hmm. So this is the first, this is when she's out. And by the way, I get this all from a TikTok guy who broke it down, and he's amazing. And I wish I could credit him, but I don't remember him. But he kind of put this all together. Not all of what I'm saying, but the thing about Fresh Out of the Slammer, because after Fresh Out of the Slammer, it's Florida, right?
Yeah.
So Florida is the date. Cause there's one song called Something Florida. What is it called?
It's just called Florida with three exclamation points.
And it's featuring
Florence and the Machine.
Yes. So Florence and the Machine is going to be on it. That's going to be amazing. And Florida, Swifties have discovered, is the first date that she had after her breakup. She was performing in Florida. So that's like something happens in Florida. And then comes the Matt Healy stuff. But Daddy, I Love Him might also be Matt Healy. We're not sure. And then the ending, I think the last couple songs or on the fourth part is going to be her coming out of it and meeting Travis. So we might get like a whole life cycle of a breakup into the new life, which I'm so excited about. I need this so badly. I just cannot wait this long. It's the 19th of April. When are you due, Noah?
End of April. But who knows?
Oh my God, two things for me to look forward to.
I mean, I get that this is such a great win for the Grammys.
It's going to be such a good.
That they, you know, Taylor Swift announces her album dropping at the Grammys. I mean,
I know people said it was lame that she did that. And I'm like, why?
Well, there is one thing that bothers me. It's that her boyfriend's in the Super Bowl this weekend. And now this is being totally overshadowed because she just did an album thing the same weekend that he's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Or they could both have their moment.
Everybody's talking about her album.
But the Super Bowl...
Now nobody cares about the Super Bowl anymore. No one's talking about it.
That's not true.
Everyone's talking about sports.
No one's talking about the sports. And everyone's talking about Joe Alwyn. I'm sick of Joe Alwyn.
That is really interesting, Brian, that you think that she's stealing a spotlight. Listen, not a horrible theory. Interesting theory, but I just don't think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can
also
see...
this episode is coming out 5 weeks after the Super Bowl. But...
Okay, maybe yeah, but maybe by now it's been proven either right or wrong.
Yeah,
I like that she wore a white dress to the Grammys, especially with everyone talking about engagement and all that. I don't know if that was like
interesting. I didn't even think of that. I have so much to say about the tracks, but we have to go. We learned a lot today. Thank you for tuning in. I'm still in Australia right now. Next week we'll be back with fresh episodes, two a week. Thank you guys so much for holding out. We might not have commented on a huge thing that's happened in the world since 4 weeks ago.
Nuclear war.
Yeah, if you're listening to this from a bunker, oh my God, can you believe this fucking happened? I know, me too. I predicted it. All right. Bye, guys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.